anything is how you will do everything. And the lessons you learn in jiu-jitsu on the mat teach you to be a better human being off the mat. Welcome to the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset.
Okay, well, welcome back. We're so glad you decided to come back and listen to another one of our podcasts, the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset. My name is Pete Dealey, and I'm here with my professor, Professor Lucas Hubo. Professor, so good to see you.
Yeah, so good to see you, Peter. Welcome back, everyone. Always a pleasure to be here, Peter.
Hey, Professor, I know you messaged me the other night, and I didn't get back to you. I'm sorry, I was a little slow on it. I just had a latte on my mind. So
how's that going?
It's going good. For those of you who have been with us, you know that we have our submission coffee. And so if you like what you're hearing and you want to be sort of a part of the community, people have asked, well, how can you support us? And the way you can support us is picking up a bag of our submission coffee, and you can find it at A Well-Run Life Gear. So the professor and I usually, this is like coffee talk for us. We get together, do the podcast, have our cup of coffee. Yeah,
absolutely. It's a great coffee, like really, really good. Like we already talked before, it's from a farm in Brazil, and they have a place in Chandler, Arizona. And the coffee is absolutely amazing. We're definitely going to be, when you buy and purchase this, the submission coffee, you're going to be helping us, the podcast, but it'll be a favor to you as well, drinking something with a really good quality.
Exactly. And
talking about that, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Not at all.
But as you guys know, submission coffee, your percentage rate on submissions, it go increase dramatically, right?
That's true.
Peter, talking about that, last week we had a tournament, and the man right here, the man right there, Pete Dealey, got a gold medal with submissions on your match, right?
Well, it wasn't a fair fight, because I mean, that guy, he didn't get a chance to have the coffee. So I should have a little asterisk that I drank the submission. Yes, it was a great day for me. Thank you for that. We had two submissions. Now, the previous tournament, I lost, but that was before I was drinking the submission coffee. So
absolutely.
Draw whatever conclusions you want, audience. But the second submission.
How much younger was your opponent's bid?
Well, that was the other thing that wasn't really fair. I mean, these guys were 10 years younger than me. So I hate to beat up on the kids, but it's the way it goes sometimes.
Absolutely amazing. Congratulations again.
Thank you very much. So yeah, I've had enough now tournament experience where I've experienced like good days, and I've had the days that it hasn't worked out the way I would have liked. And so I know enough to enjoy those ones when they go your way and not get too crazy about the ones when they don't. So thank you. Well, listen, and speaking of competition and, you know, having good days and bad days, we were going to talk today about kids and jiu-jitsu, and kids and parents and jiu-jitsu, because when you're young, the role that your parent plays is super important. We've spent a lot of time talking about jiu-jitsu being for everyone. And most of the folks listening are probably thinking of it in terms of like for the adult. But jiu-jitsu, we know the best time to start jiu-jitsu is when you're really young. The second best time is now. But, you know, if all things being equal, if you have a chance to start young, it can be something that's an advantage to you if you really want to get good at it. But I think if you're a parent and you're choosing between football and baseball and ballet and softball and all the different things, jiu-jitsu should be one of the things that you're thinking about. So, Professor, you've coached probably, you know, every age group. Mm-hmm. And you've seen a lot of dynamics of kids training and kids training alongside parents. What are some of the benefits that are the most obvious in your mind for a kid training jiu-jitsu? Why would a parent want to put their child in jiu-jitsu?
Sure, Peter. As I would say, 65 to 70% of my coaching, right, is for kids.
Okay.
That's just the way how things are now, and which is awesome.
Yeah.
I believe everyone that is hearing us, maybe some of you guys are already into jiu-jitsu, some of you guys know and you want to find out a little bit more, right? And I think the main thing to talk about, one of the things to talk about here is like why jiu-jitsu compared to other martial arts. Like, it is just jiu-jitsu that we're talking or martial arts
right
in a whole, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's important. And every martial art will have their core values in a pretty similar way.
Right.
I believe the main difference is the way how those things are being taught. And with that being said, jiu-jitsu is a way that is not just saying, I'm not reading a book on how to have confidence and how to overcome the fears. It's something that you want or not, you need to deal with that on the regular basis, right? On every day, every time that you go to train, you're going to be dealing with some type of situation and some emotion.
Right.
But I would say this, if you're a parent and you want your kid to have the confidence and have the ability to defend themselves or to be comfortable and confident enough, the ability to reach their full potential or whatever they decide to do, jiu-jitsu is one of the best things that can happen on their life.
Right.
Okay. And for everything that is being working on the regular daily basis. Again, it's not the way how we say, it's the way how it's being taught by your training partner right there.
Right.
Right. You feel the humble and being, you feel the victories, you feel the defeats, and you know, that ability to deal with different type of emotions and try to understand how to deal with that is really important.
Yeah, so maybe that's interesting about like jiu-jitsu versus other martial arts. And when you think about the training process of training a child in jiu-jitsu versus karate or boxing or pick whichever martial art you might like to, could you maybe talk a little bit about the difference in those experiences? And honestly, as you're talking, I'm thinking about my own childhood. Like when I studied karate as a child, or Aikido as a teenager or whatever, the training was, the contact between me and the other students was pretty minimal. Like we would spar, but the sparring was really light. And so when I think about jiu-jitsu, the two training partners are so close to each other, and the nature of what does it feel like to actually be in the situation seems to be truer to like a self-defense situation than in some of the other martial arts that I trained as a kid. I'm sure that's not true for every karate school and every taekwondo, so on and so forth. But could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think, again, striking martial arts are awesome. They have their place and their time. But again, we're trying to talk about something for everyone, right?
Right.
And the way how we're striking is, you want or not, the person who is bigger and stronger will have an advantage.
Right.
Okay. Maybe if the smaller person has like an incredible skill sets, way more than the bigger person, yes, it's a fair fight. But still, on the moment that we get like a punch or a slap on the face, things change.
Right.
It's inevitable. The bigger and the stronger person will have an advantage on that, which doesn't happen in jiu-jitsu. Not necessarily happen in jiu-jitsu, right? That's the way how we train. Jiu-jitsu level things way more about comparing the skill levels, right, to strength. I think it's a really nice quote that I heard once, like, jiu-jitsu represents the human intelligence over the human strength. That's what you're trying to do. And learning jiu-jitsu, you learn how to neutralize those attacks.
Right.
And like you were saying, the main reason why a bully will overconfident like the target is because of their being afraid of the physical contact.
Right.
Right. Most part of the times is this. Yes. And the moment that you understand that the physical contact is not the worst thing in the world, and you know how to handle that, your confidence level goes up, which most part of the times you're not being a target anymore. But if it happened, you already know how to deal with this.
Yeah.
And that's only jujitsu bring to you.
Yeah, I follow what you're saying. I like that idea. So as a pure, like a self-defense tool, so putting your child in with the notion of giving them confidence that as they move through the world, if someone tries to attack them, a bully or someone on the street or someone who that the skills that they have are the most realistic skills you could have to kind of get into a conflict and get away from it, right? I mean, I don't know Correct. That we teach the idea that the littler person necessarily wins against the bigger person, but can come away and escape, yes. you know, and be less hurt. If there's a giant weight and strength differential, it's still a dangerous interaction.
Yes.
But jiu-jitsu gives you the best chance, I should say, to get away.
And also, Pete, I think jiu-jitsu, let's think about some natural skills, right? Or natural right. reactions. If someone's push you, you might want to push back.
Right.
Right. If you are in a aggressive situation, if someone's get close, you might want to throw a punch or a kick. Even if you don't know how to do it, it can be in an uncoordinated, maybe in a wrong way.
Right.
But you still, that's your natural reactions, your natural skills. On the moment that you get hugged,
right.
you want to try to get out of that.
Right.
Okay. But how are you going to get out if you don't have the skills to do that?
Sure.
And in jiu-jitsu, you learn those skills.
Mm-hmm.
Not about getting out, but actually is one of the best things that can happen to you. If you're right. a jiu-jitsu yeah. person and you get hugged, all right, now everything is right. It's my world. Because the right. challenge part is to short the distance and control right that distance where before you get close. And talking about that, if you realize when you start to develop those skills that they are not natural to most people, is what's going to make a difference in a self-defense, in a confidence, and an ability to defend yourself.
Yes. So, okay. So jiu-jitsu, as it relates to kids, as a tool for self-defense, as a skill to defend yourself, I think is the argument we're making here is that if that's what you're interested in, jiu-jitsu is probably your best choice as a practical way to have your child feel confident in the world that they could. Now, if you're looking at it as a sport and for other reasons why it's good for you, I would also, I mean, my opinion about the types of physical skills that you pick up are, it's almost like gymnastics. I mean, students of gymnastics, when they go to other sports, do those other sports better yes. for their gymnastics yes. training. And in fact, in many ways, I feel like gymnastics is a fundamental skill that everybody should have on some level to do other things. Mm-hmm. I feel like jiu-jitsu physically does that for kids as well. Like it gives you an awareness of where your body is in a way that like football or basketball, it doesn't give you quite as much because you have to know where both your feet are, both your hands are, where your head is in relationship yes. to your shoulders, you know, how your torso is oriented. So I think it introduces you to your body in a very important way as an athlete, because maybe your child wants to play. I hope they want to play more than one sport. You know, I don't like this yeah. trend that has developed that we specialize children as baseball players or basketball players. I feel like they should play lots of things. As athletes, do you notice the same thing? Like, do you notice that jiu-jitsu as a way to train the body is favorable to kids compared to others?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's sometimes a discussion that we have with parents but my kid already does maybe baseball or basketball or soccer, whatever other sport right. it is. And I'll say, that's awesome. It doesn't right. need to be one or the other. You know,
right.
if you don't have
yes.
a schedule conflict, one just going to help the other. Like, look what you're doing, jiu-jitsu. Like the amount of drills and trainings and techniques and where the kid will learn how to balance themselves. And
right.
balance is important for whatever sport you decide to play.
Right.
Coordination is important for whatever sport you decide to play. Confidence is
yes.
important for whatever sport you decide to play.
Right.
So it doesn't need to be one or the other. Like one sport will help the other. And you can see a difference, right? When a kid is exposed to different areas, And you pick up everything way easier, right? Because you just have that muscle memory from different areas. So I agree 100% on what you're saying.
Right. And I'll try not to go too far off on my soapbox about this, but I feel like kids that specialize in single sports suffer often the worst injuries as they get into their late teens because their movements have been so singular. Well, just the way, like when we began our podcast as an older person, when I think about like ways I want to move when I'm 90 and 95, mm-hmm. jiu-jitsu is great training for me to expand my range of motion and to keep what range of motion I have. I think for children, it gives them a certain way to become athletes that they can't get. I mean, maybe wrestling has an analogy to it, but I think it's special in that regard. So you touched on one thing that I'd like to go deeper into, because the feeling confident from a self-defense perspective and feeling confident as an athlete that you can do different things with your body. I mean, we talk a lot about like on the mats and off the mats. And so I've heard you talk about with children and even with the adults, I should say, when you're in a jiu-jitsu session, you know, whether you're specific training or a competition, the outcome of that shouldn't be seen as just, you know, a win or a lose. There are other ways to. So can you talk about the mindset that jiu-jitsu helps kids develop?
Yes. Is that a win and learn mindset, right? Win or learn mindset. So jiu-jitsu, and I believe in all sports, but that's something that we talk a lot in jiu-jitsu. You might gonna have your win, which is awesome. Congratulations. But and you probably, you definitely, let me change, you're definitely gonna have your losses.
Right.
And like we already talked before, every time that you lose, it brings you that self-reflection, right, where you can point the things that you're committing wrong, point the mistakes, and maybe change the path for the future competitions or right for the future whatever goal that you have. And the winning, it's sometimes you just forget about it because, well, I won, you work it, maybe I committed a mistake there, but you know what, I was able to come back, and you don't think about what happened.
Yes.
Right. And jiu-jitsu is something that, because it's also like an individual sport when you were competing, right, as much you need a training partner and a team and everything else, but when you're competing, it's only you over there.
Right.
So it brings all that responsibility for whatever happens. You need to deal with the consequence of your acts right away.
Yes.
Right away. And this is something that sometimes in other areas, some people barely notice.
Right.
A mistake that I commit in a different area, maybe I won't pay for that mistake, someone else will pay. In jiu-jitsu, whatever you do, you will pay for that mistake.
Right.
And brings you that, right?
Yeah, the feedback loop is immediate.
Exactly. Right?
You know, there's an action and the reaction happen, and there's only one person out there, you know, for that moment. And one of the things that's interesting to me something I've observed in your coaching of children that I really like is that you emphasize this notion of character, you know, and that might not be true everywhere. So if you're a parent and you're looking to find a school, I think it's useful to listen to the words that the professor is using to coach the kids. Is it the words of winning and learning, you know, or is it winning and losing? Because that's a pretty different cultural assessment. And we had a moment, just a detail about our school that was, we have one of our professors, Professor Tom. Some kids were out and they threw rocks in the parking lot. and whether they hit cars or not, it wasn't entirely clear, but the kids are doing something they shouldn't do. So when they come in, Tom, in a very fatherly manner, was like, I should not have to tell you guys to be throwing rocks in there. But what was interesting to me is that Tom's in that moment was using somebody's behavior as a way to say, listen, how you behave is important. And we don't leave what goes on off the mats matters here. So if you're not going to follow the rules that you can park your car safely in our parking lot, then we don't want you training on the mat. And that to me was an important little moment for these young people, because there was a consequence to that action out there. And nobody fessed up like I was the rock thrower, but everybody had to deal with the consequence of that bad behavior. So let's say, I'm curious from a mindset perspective in the win-learn idea. In the past, have you observed perhaps somebody who was a very physically gifted child came into the studio, but took time to learn, you know, wasn't a physical, didn't take this quickly. They took a while to become good at, as all of us do. And did that, did you feel like that helped the kid maybe be a little humbler or prepare them to be a better athlete because they're more coachable? You know, I've seen lots of kids where they're, you pick up a soccer ball and it seems like they were born with a soccer ball in their cradle, right? And they're sometimes hard to coach because they're just, they're so good without
they
being
do
coached.
Their own thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Have you seen that in the kids?
I would say sometimes they have some kids that they start to develop their own strengths, right? Which that's exactly the goal.
Right.
So when we're teaching, you're teaching other things that I believe like a good coach, a good professor, a good master, and whoever is teaching, you need to teach not what you want to teach, but what your student needs to learn.
Right.
Right. That's a main difference. Not about how much you know, but how much can you translate to that person to be able to learn that thing on that moment, on the right moment for them, right? It doesn't matter like if I want to do like a super fancy and crazy technique just to impress everyone.
Right.
But the gap to get to that point is so big that no one will never understand. And if they do, everything goes wrong, right? So be able to learn the right thing. So when you teach like that, you teach the foundations of jiu-jitsu, you teach everything, right? You teach a guy, you teach a passing guy, you teach a good mount, escaping from mount, takedowns, guy pulls, self-defense. You're kind of like covering all the areas.
Right.
But, and then it's funny to see sometimes, even without ever teaching a specific movement, you see a kid or adult doing that.
Yeah.
And then that comes from that, like maybe a little bit of gifts, right? Like a good understanding of the foundation will take you further on more advanced techniques, not necessarily because you're going to be able to see and assimilate more, but because you can understand what's going to happen with that those foundations. So I have seen situations like that, not in a way that was hard to coach, but some movements that I was like, man, I don't remember that ever teach you that, you know, but it's awesome that you're doing.
So have you seen the opposite happen then? Have you seen a kid come into, you know, your classes where they don't feel very confident and they're thinking, hey, I'm not a good athlete. And so I'm not, they already have made the assumption that they're not going to be good at it. But then you work with them and have you seen their confidence blossom?
Oh, is what happened the most.
Okay.
Those super gifts and talent and super coordinate and all this and that is rare to find, right? It's rare to see. And it's so rewarding to have the opposite happening.
Yes.
Like a kid with zero strength, zero coordination, super unconfidence, like low esteem and everything, start to change their mindset for a small victory. You know, it's a small victory. It changes everything. They balance themselves better. They talk better. They behave better. They make more friends. They maybe start to compete. And it's funny because just last weekend we had that happen.
Yes.
We had one kid from the juniors class competing for the very first time. And before the registration, the parents asked me, look, we want to register our kid to the tournament. What do you think? And they, you know, talking like being 100% honest. I was like, I think competition always have a place for everyone.
Right.
Well, and then we talked a little bit about all the benefits, which me and you are a big fan about competition.
Yes.
But, you know, keep in mind that it might be a stressful day and the outcome we can never control. He's been training well, but, you know, have all kind of levels and this and that. I was just trying to prepare the parent for not a victory. Right.
Right.
If that was the parent was hoping for, which wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't want to not give courage for the kid to compete, right? So I gave my full support. We talk a little bit. But inside me, I was like, man, I hope it won't be a bad experience.
Yes, right.
Because, it was never a kid that showed extra interest in the class, or never a kid that was actually sparring really well with other kids on the same level, you know? And the kid went there, lost the first fight, but lost in a really, really good way, if I can put those words together.
Sure.
Because it was a tough match. It was by points. Mm-hmm. He was fighting back. That was for me, that was a big victory. Was he's fighting back and he wasn't afraid.
Yes.
You know, so he surprised me a lot from that. And he, on that moment, I had a boost of energizing. And I was like, man, I'm so happy for that. Second match, he won. He submitted. Oh.
So submission,
he was able to, yes. So he was able to have his victory, you know, the two tastes of a competition, like a loss and a victory, a medal, which, you know, it shows the good reward for him working hard. And next day, he was not a kid.
Yeah.
Like his confidence, the way how he walk and talk, now it's crazy.
Did you slip him a little coffee? Is that what happened? You gave him a little...
I won't tell that. I won't deny, but I...
Well, you know, one of the things that you've repeated to me and you've said on the podcast that I think is true is that jiu-jitsu will help balance a person out, in the sense that if you are too aggressive, it can temper your aggression, because, you know, there's always somebody in your training circle who will, you know, kind of adjust your attitude a little bit, mm-hmm. as Brett might say. And then, you know, on the other side of it is that there are those who need to feel more confident and be more assertive out there, and jiu-jitsu gives them an opportunity to develop it. And sounds to me like, you know, this child had a chance to kind of realize that they were more capable than maybe they thought. And then, you know, they were able to dust themselves off a loss, come back and fight hard and win, experience both sides of that. That's kind of like a perfect competition day in a lot of ways, you know?
Yes. Because at the same time, if you critique that, imagine like if after everything that I said, the kid go there and win the two matches.
Right.
By submission, very first tournament. Maybe he won't be able to deal with that much success right away, you know?
Yeah.
That small success, but for him, like a big victory.
Yeah.
So it was really good to see both things happen at the same time. And the way how he deal with that, even that he lost on the first match, he wasn't upset. He was actually like happy, like, oh, that was actually like nicer than I thought, you know? Like way cooler. I'm having a lot of fun here.
Yeah, that is a perfect competition day then, because if you can enjoy the experience, that's really, for my mind, you know, you're putting yourself in this, it's falsely stressful in the sense that, like, the day afterwards, whether you win or lose, your life is going to return to, you know, right? It doesn't have consequence in that stuff, but it feels so consequential. And being able to control yourself in the midst of that stress has so much benefit in school, in work, in your relationships, because you have a level of awareness. Now, if you're a parent and you're bringing your child into this, your natural, many parents have a natural inclination to, like, hey, I want my child to experience this, but sometimes they have anxieties like, well, I don't want it. Like didn't want it to be a bad experience. They don't want their kid to have a bad experience either. Now, the disappointment of loss, you can't overly protect your child from, because otherwise they're not competing if there's not a chance to lose. Right. So I'd like for you to talk a little bit about, like, parents coaching from outside the mats. I'm sure you've seen that in your, you know, career, where parents think that they should be the coaches, and you know, maybe you could tell a story or two about what you've observed out there of parents taking on that role.
Sure. I think, I'm not a parent, so what I'm talking here, like, I can only imagine what's the feeling on having someone, right? Like a kid, right? You're a kid there fighting, and, you know, all the feelings that you can have, but I'm going to talk that in a coaching perspective.
Right.
Okay. And I think when you have your kid competing, I mean, your kid training, first of all, especially when they're kids, you need to make sure they're having fun, they're enjoying what they're doing. Like, yes. don't take your kid to train jiu-jitsu, but take your kid to enjoy jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
That's a big difference on how they're going to deal with everything else about mm-hmm. it, right? Like, we already talked about that, but so many cases that you see great talent kids that were champions on an age like between 3 and 14 years old, and on 15 years old, they don't want to see jiu-jitsu, yeah. they want to talk jiu-jitsu more.
Right. You
know? Let's make sure it's not happening, because we know like how many benefits can bring to your life. It's better to, you know, jiu-jitsu be fun for that kid once a week than right. be a nightmare 3 times a week.
Yes, right. yeah, well
so
said.
So allowing your kid to have fun in jiu-jitsu is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, the competition can happen or not, right? And sometimes... with the best of intentions, parents get a little bit more excited when the kids start to, especially when the kids start to do good, right? Show that they're liking to train, show that they're like not just enjoying jiu-jitsu, but train jiu-jitsu and going hard and start to go for competition classes and start to go for do actual competitions. And that can be easily like overwhelmed.
Right.
And I believe the main lesson as a for a parent when you are coaching from outside is you're not knowing, but you're putting your kid in a conflict spot.
Right.
Because you have the coaching happening inside the mat from coach, from right. professor.
Yes.
And then they might gonna be telling one thing, and a parent might gonna be telling a different thing
sure.
outside.
Yeah.
So you're going to put your kid in a really uncomfortable spot. Who are they going to listen?
Right. You know? Yeah. Right.
You're going to listen to the parent or you're going to listen to coach.
Right.
And on that, you see happen a lot. The kid, they keep seeking like the approval of the parent all the time.
Sure.
You do a movement, look it back. Do another movement, look it back.
Yeah.
So the kid's not actually doing what they want to do. They're not yeah. doing what they're not enjoying anymore.
Right.
They just want the approval, which can... That tells a lot about that relationship between that parent and the kid.
Right.
Right. If the kid thinks do good is the only way to be loved or to be approved by,
sure.
by the parent,
right.
you probably should change some things the way how you're doing.
Right. right.
And again, I can only imagine how difficult this is. But being rational on that yeah. on that matter, that's the best advice that I have, you know, trust on the school that you choose to have your kid training, trust on a coach, trust on the professor, because they will know better. You know, sometimes I can say by my experience, I like to coach, like kind of guide through the fights and through the movements during the
right.
training session. But I also like a lot to just watch.
Right.
And let things go. Right. Like not coaching much on that specific situation. You allow the kid to create their own things
yes.
and to fight on their own battles by themselves
yes,
and
yes.
not by someone telling.
Right.
Okay. So it's a different type of exercise. I'm not saying don't coach ever. Like if you're coaching, if you're a jiu-jitsu coach, don't coach. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm just saying like try this exercise
yes.
because you're going to see nice things happen. And then it's easier to identify the weaknesses on a jiu-jitsu game
right. yes.
or even on their own behavior and the strength as well.
Yeah. Boy, you said a lot of important things there. Let me tease apart a couple of things. So like the greatest jiu-jitsu family in the history of jiu-jitsu, the Gracies, right? I mean, mm-hmm. can you talk, I mean, what was their attitude with their kids? I mean, now you talk about pressure. You have,
yeah.
you know, if anybody would assert pressure for a child to like, hey, we really need you to be interested in this, this is the family business, the family tradition you're connected mm-hmm. to, you know, I know you've talked with, you know, some of the Gracies of this generation, but mm-hmm. how did they approach their kids with it? Just as a point of reference, like, so if there was ever going to be pressure, you'd expect it in the Gracie family. How did they do it?
Yeah, that was a question that every time that I have an opportunity to talk with a Gracie
mm-hmm.
and I have some time to ask some questions, right? That's the first thing that I ask. Like, how's that? How's the pressure? Like, especially being a kid. Yep. And the answer is always the same. Like, it was never pressure.
Right.
It was always like, have fun, you know? They are training jiu-jitsu without knowing that they were training jiu-jitsu.
Yes, right.
Like rolling around and hugging each other. I know, go on top here, you know? Okay, stay there. Okay, let's play this game. Stay on top, you know? And they're, especially kids, are just sponges, right? All of a sudden, boom, they're going for money, they're holding there.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so that's nice. Or they're on bottom and they keep using the legs, shooting every time that the other kid come close, they push back. So what they're doing? They're doing frames,
right?
You know, they're doing distance management,
right?
But they don't know that. They just have their, for them, they're just playing. So that was the thing that interested the most. Was like, it was never a pressure. It was always having fun until the moment that they start to show their own interest in on taking this in a more serious level and competing. And then, of course, you're gonna have more pressure, like anyone else will, like everyone else will have, if you start to choose the competition path.
Yeah, I love that, because I feel like, you know, even for a champion of the Gracie and all the champions in the Gracie family, that still is a portion of their life, not their whole life. You're not going to compete at the highest levels of any competitive athletic event your entire life. And so if, you know, at 15, you're done with jiu-jitsu, you've been robbed of the opportunity to have it with you as a companion throughout your life. And I think that the more competitive, the more success a competitor has, the more attractive it seems like to make it, you know, we're going to focus, this is all we're going to do, and so on and so forth. As opposed to the Gracie's attitude of like, look, this is, we're going to enjoy this and we're going to take one step at a time. And it's about play as much as it's about anything else. And then slowly develop that. And then I've seen pictures of Elio Gracie at 95 rolling with Hickson, you know?
Yeah.
And so there was, throughout that man's entire life, jiu-jitsu was available to him as a way to connect with other people, you know, to continue to learn about himself. So I think it's super important. I am a parent, you know, I have a blended family. I have 5 kids under, you know, my purview as a parent. And
almost like a Gracie.
yeah. And so I can say that as a parent, giving what you said about giving the kids space to, you know, have their own experience, and that the experience is the kids and not the parents, is so critical. Because, and that means sometimes not even being present for practice and
yes,
you know, because the child changes their behavior in the presence of the parent. And without the presence of the parent, as long as you know the environment's safe, you trust the professor, you trust the school, you know that the ethics and the behavior that you're leaving your kids there is one that you agree with, then giving the kid a chance to have their own experience is something worth considering. Now, game days, as a child, I always liked it with, you know, if my parents showed up. So I understand that. But even then, like, well, how did, when a Gracie was competing as a teenager and all that, where would the family sit? Like, would they write up again? I mean, because not only would that create pressure, but people would pay attention to the adults. You know, how did they do it?
I will give an example that Kyron Gracie gave to me. He was like, my father, Carlos Gracie Jr., he never coached me in the tournament. I think he did it once and didn't work out well. so he's like, no, I don't do it anymore. But also because master, being master in all areas, not right, it's not just as a martial art.
Right.
He understood that, man, I'm doing this. I'm just putting so much pressure on my son.
Yeah.
Right? And depending on the age, we're just not ready to deal with all the pressure.
Right.
So a lot of times he was present on the competitions, but he was on the last seat on the bench, you know, super far away. Kyron, do your thing. And he will have the other professors and cousins and friends and everyone else coaching right there and helping on the battlefield.
Yeah.
But he was always trying to keep that distance. If you want to talk about it, we talk about it. And I never heard about this from Rickson Gracie.
Right.
But when he had Cron Gracie competing in jiu-jitsu, and even MMA, Cron Gracie still fight UFC.
Uh-huh.
Rickson is never there.
Yeah.
Rickson, like, maybe is one or twice on his corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in jiu-jitsu, I know he was a couple of times on the ADCCs, but in on the lower belts that I said, like brown, purple, blue belt, most of the times was his brother, I mean, Cron's Gracie uncle, Hoyer Gracie, that was competing, that was coaching Cron. And the same idea, you know, try to take the responsibility away, you know, do your thing, focus on you, not on me. It's important that parents understand that, you know, the days for on this topic, right, when you're talking about competition. The day is about your kid competing. It's not about you coaching. And again, everything you mean, all your actions, you mean really well, right?
Sure.
Like the parents just love unconditionally the kid.
Yes, right.
Right. And everything that you do is like because you love so much.
Sure.
But let's try to think, you know, a little bit and give a little more freedom on that aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I mean, in team sports, it's become like a source of humor, like parents behaving badly on the, you know, the soccer field or the baseball stadium, you know, where they're yelling at the refs and making, you know, a big stink. And of course you're more passionate. You know, if you're passionate about your professional team, you know, you're certainly more passionate about your child. And so those emotions. So I think as a parent, you got to really be thoughtful about, well, what are you going to be feeling and not put those feelings on the kid? Because you may really be hopeful for them, you know, but you can't put the pressure of like, I really want you to win, because the kid's not going to interpret that as, I want you to have a good experience. They're going to be like, well, if I don't win, something's wrong, you know, and that.
Yes.
So it requires a self-awareness as a parent, like of how are you behaving and how is that behavior affecting the kid?
And Pete, just to add to this conversation, I'll give, it can happen sometimes. It happened once and this, we had a talk and this never happened again. It's just a misunderstood, you know, when you, when this happened for the first time, again, it's always meaning the best.
Right.
But when the parent is coaching from outside the mat,
right,
and it's different when you talk about competitions or actual classes, right? And then if you talk about classes, what it happens is transform the whole environment in a competition arena.
Okay.
Which on that point is not what you want, right? So just try to pretend this. We have two kids sparring, whatever age they are. That's between 6 and 7 years old.
Right.
One parent starts to coach their kid.
Yeah.
And then the coach allow that to happen.
Right.
So what's going to happen? The other parent going to start to coach the other kid.
Yeah. Right.
So when you realize you have two guys, two grown-up men yelling on the middle of your class, it's not only an uncomfortable situation, an embarrassing situation, but this can even generate maybe a bad feeling between the kids and the parents.
Yes.
So look, if you allow this to happen on your school, that you probably will have like a really heavy environment, really heavy energy on your classes.
Right.
You know? And so again, like trying to have a conversation with a parent, make sure it is not happening. And most of the times, if not all the times, they understand, oh I'm so sorry. Like, yeah, that makes total sense. And everything's fine.
Yes, right.
But if you allow this to happen, it becomes like a circus.
Yeah. I think, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I've seen that play out in a lot of team sport environments where, you know, people are, they lose themselves in the moment a little bit and they're just enthusiastic. Uh-huh. But it does, then it shifts the focus, as you say, away from the experience of the children. And now it's about the parents, and very little good is going to come of that. You know, it's only going to end because one kid, now we're in a win-lose situation, not a win-learn. Yeah. And then, you know, the winner is going to feel good about it. The loser is not, oh, I learned something. They're going to be like, well, yeah, that's a mess. And I appreciate, you know, your ability to kind of create an environment where people feel safe and good, and then, but still have structure and boundaries in which, you know, hey guys, I'm the professor here, and I'm giving instruction. And you guys, if you violate that, I can't just be worried about your kid. I got, you know, 20 kids on the mat, or, you know, you talk about an arena, something goes wrong with one, you know, parent and child. the whole environment, yeah, as you said, gets spoiled. Well, as we kind of come into, you know, the end of our hour here, I mean, at the beginning, we talked about, you know, how good jiu-jitsu can be from a confidence perspective, right? You want your kid not to go through the world worried about physical confrontations and not, and feeling like, hey, if I am in a confrontation, that it's the end of the world. We feel like jiu-jitsu is a realistic way to prepare them for something unpleasant like that. And we also talked about like athleticism, that as a choice for developing athletes, that it really, you know, has a place for any other sport that they might like. We spend a lot of time in this podcast talking about the mindset that comes of it. So we want, you know, every experience to be a good one, which means that you might enjoy a victory of the moment, but, you know, nearly all of us spend more of our times where we're learning. And so we have to take those times where we're not victorious and enjoy them in their own sense, because they're a chance for us to get better. And then for you parents out there, just in terms of the way you're acting out there with your, you know, your student, your child, there's ways to do it in which you can enhance your child's experience, and there are ways you can do it where you can take away from it. And if you're not thoughtful about it, you might be taking away from the kid's experience, not even, you know, inadvertently. And by the way, you're probably hurting the experience of the children around them. So it's important that you're aware of yourself. So that, I feel like, were a lot of the most important things today, Professor. Anything else that you'd want to sort of like recap?
No, I agree 100%, Peter. I would say, I'll just add this. For why your kid, right, should be trained jiu-jitsu, and why it's so important, why is jiu-jitsu? Bullying is a problem all around the world. Yeah. Yes. This always happens, okay? And you have... how is school sometimes deal with that, having that zero tolerance for bullying, right? But in reality, most part of the times, those zero tolerance politics about policies, sorry, is about almost like showing for the kid that reacts against the bully is wrong. You know, like defend yourself, stood up for yourself is wrong, because you're gonna be in trouble if that happens.
Yeah.
Right. And you can say a lot of times, for a kid, stood up for yourself is okay to defend herself, is okay and right to defend those that cannot defend themselves. But the words, they only go so much for it, right? And the actions is what going to stick with us. And in jiu-jitsu classes, that's what they will have. They will not just be reinforced by the words, but by the actions of the classes, of the exercise, that yes, they can stand up for themselves. They will have the confidence to do that. And most important, they will have the confidence and the ability to reach their full potential on anything else they decide to do, because they'll have the confidence to do that, not being afraid about physical confrontation and be able to deal with all the struggles and challenges that happen in front of them. So if that, just find a great school around you. We always say that, you know, do your search, and the benefits will be always there. And if your kid doesn't like much yet, make it fun, or just give some space.
Yes.
Right. It's important that it be fun. Need to be fun for the kids, and they will learn playing games and have fun.
Yeah. And on the bullying note, just as one idea, is that the experience of being bullied is not just in the moment where someone tries to threaten you physically. It's in the fear of the bully. So it's a psychological state of like something could happen. And so when you give the kid the confidence that, well, if something does happen, I have the confidence to do, you remove all of the fear, you know, or hopefully a lot of the fear that comes along with it. So, as you talk about that, and it's never not been a problem. You know, I moved around a lot as a kid. I had a heavy New York accent. When I moved out west, I was teased a lot, bullied a lot. You know, it's never not been, you know, every generation before us. And sadly, there will be kids that are not, don't behave correctly. So I agree with you. It's an inoculation, you know, it's a way to protect your child.
Yes, correct.
You know, not just about the fight, but the fear, you know, to like you can walk through the world. And that, by the way, once you get out of school, this, it's not like that can't happen to you as an adult, as we all know. All right. Well, thank you, Professor. It was a great conversation. And, you know, for those of you listening, if you haven't heard the previous podcast, we talk a lot about jiu-jitsu for everybody. And, you know, we encourage you to go back and listen. And if you've been with us from the beginning, thank you for listening. And stay tuned, because we're going to continue our conversation in the future as well. All right.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you all. See you next time.